Everything's running smoothly.
Woo-wee! Is that just me? The sound's coming hot this morning. Happy Friday! Woo, it's your KC morning show. Peter Sweeney across the line. My name is Hartzell Pete. Happy Friday, buddy.
Morning, Hartzell. It's a good day to be a Kansas Cityan. Happy Friday, indeed. It's another episode of the KC Morning Show presented by Charlie Hustle. As you're getting up in Kansas City, it's hot. It's hot right now.
Ooh, I like when you say it like that.
That even extends to what your real feel will be.
Ooh, your real feel. I feel like I got to change it up now, because what's like a sweaty way of saying real feel? Just, it's a real feel. Does that work?
I gotta change it up. I don't know what that was, but I'm sure some folks listening will like it. It's a little jarring to me. Personally.
I want to give you different characters on the show, right?
No doubt about it.
Don't know what that one was, though. That's a workshop.
If you're just waking up in Kansas City, it is about 80, 83, 84 degrees. The real feel is right on the money. If it's 10 a.m., as you're getting this, it feels like 88 out there. So basically, just don't wear a shirt today if you're a boy.
Hadn't planned on it.
And if you're a lady, I don't know how I got here, but a sports bra might do. I don't. I don't know how I ran into this.
Oh no!
Sorry about
that. You walked yourself into a circle.
Couldn't get out. I couldn't get out of the house. All the doors were locked. I'm sorry. I pin it in. I'm inappropriate.
Oh boy! Huddle up, Pete. Bring it back in. Huddle up. Let's run another play.
Speaking of, it's very hot in here already.
What's that? What's the real feel?
Looks like a high of 96 today, a low 73. Thunderstorms really early. It was really loud last night. Terrible night of sleep for, as they're calling me these days, Big Sween. Got to take care of that. High on Saturday, 94, low 75. High on Sunday, 94, low 74. Should be a nice weekend, but just so hot. It is going to be so hot.
So hot in here!
Yeah. It's actually going to be hotter over the weekend than it will be all of next week. So,
are you giving us a little tease? What a meteorologist you are. What a chief meteorologist. Looking out for us.
Yeah. The chief meteorologist is going to go out to the curb this weekend to cook breakfast. Eggs and bacon. Fried egg out there.
Oh, my man. My man. Woo, Pete.
Yeah.
Before you dig yourself any more graves, my friend.
Not my best work.
I, you know what? Hey, we will rebuild. What you been up to, man? How's your Friday? I feel like you this morning almost pulled a me. Be real with me. How much were you thinking, maybe I could sleep in today? How much were you thinking, we may not have a show this Friday? Because I know it ran through your mind for a second. I know it did.
You know, it's something called muscle memory. So you start to associate certain things.
Uh-huh.
I'll explain it for the listener and the viewer and the audience, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
So
your mom. Yours and my mom is what you meant to say.
Mom and Miriam.
Our two listeners.
The dynamic duo. So when Hartzell texts me something, some kind of update, and it's after like 11 o'clock-ish, typically that means he's in the studio late working on some of our pre-recorded interviews, whatever like that. Lo and behold, it's always a delayed start. I mean, I would say 95% of the time, we don't get on our usual time, which is around 5:30 that we like to do. So I get a text last night. I think it's 11:38, and I wake it up this morning because I've been sleeping. If I'm going to continue to have the excellent skin that I have, I got to get to bed early. You know that. And so wake up and I say, oh my God, there is no way we're starting prior to like 6:30 a.m. So I figure, should I catch some Z's? So immediately at 5:10, when I wake up, I text him, hey man, just let me know your ETA. Mm-hmm. To my stunning surprise, my phone beeps at 5:20 that he has somehow managed. Uh-huh. Would you get home last night at midnight? And to wake up, rally, and get back mm-hmm. to the studio. So
that's dedication, Pete. Dedication, Sweeney boy.
And I'm impressed. So this show is not only presented by Charlie Hustle, it's presented by a pretty badass alarm clock that you're working on, because I didn't think there was a chance in hell you'd be awake right now.
Uh-huh. Well, I know, because there's that buffer, because I texted you. It was 11:38 last night. So there you go. Even later than you thought.
Yeah.
So I'm giving myself even more credit. And then you said when you said what's your ETA? That was at 5:10 this morning. And there was a bit of a window there where I didn't respond, where I think you thought maybe this ain't gonna happen. Maybe this ain't gonna work.
Every other time that this scenario, but hey, look, I like that you're setting new precedents.
Mm-hmm.
June 5th is the first day of the rest of your life. And so you have started out on a nice path. I like this.
Yeah. Remember the 5th of June, November. That's how I'm going to remember this reboot.
That's how it goes. And people love that quote. I'm going to write it down here. Let's see, write it down. And we'll read that on Wednesday. So good job by you.
Uh-huh.
I do have to tell you this. I know there's a lot more important things going on in the world, but you know me. I've been open on this show. I've talked about it for now 5 months and 5 days, and that is that I would like to lose weight,
mm-hmm.
and I have finally made some legitimate progress this week.
Oh yeah. Well, I can't tell, man. You got to take up all these layers. Why don't you quit wearing all these jackets? Because I want to think.
We're gonna go back into that conversation that I tried to get away from at the top.
Let me see
you.
That's okay. Let me see you, baby. Give me a spin, baby.
I'm not going to spin, but I did lose a couple LBs. I just weighed in this morning when I woke up thinking that you weren't getting up. But I'm excited about it. I want to keep the ball rolling. When you're in a weight loss, I think, journey, as people that are in a journey like myself call it, you worry about the weekends. The weekends are because your friends are going to be calling.
Right.
Maybe have a couple pops as long as they're under your calorie goal, which I've learned about this week. And then you start to say, do I want that pizza or not? You know, you start to battle. It's an uphill battle. So if I can just get through this weekend, which has always been a challenge for me on these weight loss journeys, I will be in good shape, because then I'll be rolling. I'll be cooking with gas. I'll be on like a 6 or 7 day streak. I've noticed too, like when you start to get into this habit of eating healthy, you start to feel like some of the bad foods don't taste as well. So there were a couple, I tried to fry the other night after a couple of days of good eating, and you're like, ooh, my body doesn't necessarily agree with this anymore. So
No, you're lying to yourself. You're absolutely telling yourself that. You're speaking that into existence. Hey, and if it works, I'm not going to knock it. But you can't tell me that fry wasn't delicious. I know you're lying.
Yeah, you may look at them as a French fry. I look at it as a freedom fry. And then you deny it, and you say, I am not free. I am locked into this diet. And I'm going to stick to it right here, right now. So
I don't know what that was.
I'm just telling you how my thinking is right now. I have to stay with it. I mean, I ate oatmeal and I cut up some peaches in it. It's yesterday. I mean,
and that is progress is what that is. That's progress.
Look at me. There are foods that you can eat that are tasty enough that will get you through. And you know, I'm learning a lot. It all started actually over the last weekend when some guy I hadn't talked to in like literally 10 years reached out on Facebook. He's one of these fitness guys. And I knew that what he was trying to do. He's trying to get me into his business. But he sent me this video. It was the 3 keys of losing weight. And it said eating, exercise, and sleep. And the whole thing was eating and sleep are more important than exercise. Anyway, of course, at the end of the...
That doesn't make sense.
Exactly. At the end of the 10-minute video, there was the pitch for his business. But it was legitimate up till that point. And so I said, okay, you know what? I looked, did a lot of research. I found out how many calories I have to have. We'll see. I'll be honest. My goal right is around 35 to 40 pounds. So...
Did the program he give you, like the pamphlet, did it by chance look like the shape of an upside down pyramid?
Oh, come on.
Maybe of like the scheme variety?
No,
I
wouldn't say that. No, more like Scientology. And I just wonder where Shelley is. Like, where is Shelley? That's my main question here.
Peter, I think that I think we may have found the leader we need. I think in all this, we said earlier, you know, we got a lot of serious things in the news. We're going to have fun, but we also have to talk about things that are worth talking about.
Right.
And I can't believe it. And we've been saying this on this show pretty much since the beginning, because life is wrestling. I have found not only the people's champion, Pete, I think I have found our next people's president.
Where is our leader? Where are you? Where is our leader at this time? At this time when our country is down on its knees, begging, pleading, hurt, angry, frustrated, in pain, begging and pleading with its arms out, just wanting to be heard, begging and pleading and praying for change. Where are you?
That's right. The jabroni beaten, pie eaten, trailblazing, eyebrow raising, the people's champion, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Is he running for president? You saw what that was. That sounds like my man cut a promo to just announce his presidency.
Well, I could see him elbowing out the competition, and the world certainly has hit rock bottom. So at this point, I'm smelling what he's cooking.
What do you think, man? Is this for real? Because I see this video, and I saw his face, and there was that rumor. I don't know if it was even a rumor, just kind of a joke about, let's see The Rock run for president, you know? And it was like, ha, ha, ha.
I had this.
But I saw this thing, and this looked different. His face was, I don't know, man. This may have legs.
There's a reason they call me Pete Stradamus, and it's because Trump even was in his first couple of years, and he won it, I said... I'm telling you, I said this. I said, I don't know if a politician is ever going to be the president of the U.S. again. Meaning, I think it's only going to take a celebrity type figure to knock off Trump. And if the Democrats really want to do it, they need someone like The Rock, like someone that were like a Tom Hanks or something, you know, something ridiculous where like you would never in a million years say, okay, because that was part of it too. And I think that's what got a lot of people behind Trump. It wasn't a lifelong politician who for a long time were looked at as like, all right, there's some corruption here with the deals that you make to get votes and the money that you have to take. And so, dude, The Rock would beat Trump. I've been on this show and I say, you know, I don't know about Biden. And to be fair, I would have rather maybe Sanders or Warren, because I think they would have had a better backbone, but hard to be sure that they would have beaten Trump either. I'm pretty sure The Rock would win, which is insane to say. And it's just because of his following, just because how he uses social media. He just started a tequila company.
Is that good though on us? Like, do we want the presidency to be a popularity contest? Like, I think have we learned anything within the last, just look at the last couple of weeks alone. Just look at 2020.
It's too late.
That ship has already sailed.
Well, that was my point in saying that. Yeah. You may not be
wrong.
Are you going to fight fire with the little amount of water that you had that didn't work the last time? Or are you going to bring your own fire? And that's what I've been saying for months now, is like, if you're going to be Trump, you not only need people to vote for candidate X, you need some of these Trump people to jump. Like I saw yesterday too, a Republican's against Trump ad, or Republican voters against Trump. Those are the votes you freaking need. And a personality like Biden is not getting those Trump voters that may be on the fence. You bring in the most electrifying man in all of Hollywood. Who knows? Who knows?
What do we do, man? We call in the White House the SmackDown Hotel? It's uncharted. I mean, who would his VP be? I mean, we got, God, I've already got it figured out. We got the ticket would be the Rock and Sock connection. We got The Rock and Mick Foley, Mankind. I mean, can we go Rock and Austin? Maybe Rock and Stone Cold, the best
Steve
of the
Austin
attitude.
Steve Austin has Stone Cold stunned Donald Trump. So that would be an easy campaign video. Mm-hmm. Look, it's all going to come down to what happens on the corner of Know Your Role Boulevard and Jabroni Drive. And it's whether or not The Rock can lay the smack it down on Trump's candy ass. And I hope that he can. I hope that he can.
Pete, take me to the news.
Bring it.
In other news, this city needs its news.
News team!
Assemble! off. I can't hear a thing that's going on. Pete, vamp for me, buddy. I need you to do a little vamp thing because I can't hear a thing.
You need to get your ass together. This is the Friday show, and you're embarrassing us.
There we go. Headphones are back. I was dancing, and I just knocked that cork off. Whoopsie daisies. I'm not an adult when you're not in the room, Pete. This is why I shouldn't be allowed in places without some adult supervision. But I do know that on a Friday, on this, your Friday, the Friday edition of the KC Morning Show, my man Peter Sweeney freestyles this news intro. Are you ready, Pete?
Almost.
Are you ready now, Pete?
Yeah.
There we go. I'm going to catch you in. Here we go. A 5, 6, 7, 8.
If the bird is the word, then the herd is the word. Green Bay's gross for eating cheese curds. Circulating in the toilet is a big ol' whoa. I'm not going to go there. The news is a bear. Get up from your snooze. Let's do the news.
What the hell?
Oh, I was almost ready. I needed probably five more seconds to organize my thoughts, and you threw me right into the fire.
I counted you in too early. That's on me. I didn't need to count you so quick. I could have given
you know I write the freestyle in about 20 seconds, and then the problem is you dropped your headphones, and then I had to focus my attention on saying something. And then perfect storm here.
Just a real train wreck, huh? You hate to see it. You hate to see it. But you love to hear it. And it was a fine job. It wasn't your best, but it was a fine job.
See, like, I had something. It was way better. What a week for spoken word. If the bird is the word, then the herd is the word. And then it was supposed to go. But again, I couldn't organize my thoughts. All of a sudden, I was in the ring, and I just got knocked out by Chuck Liddell, the Iceman.
Spitting bars left and right. Let's do the news.
I feel like Gumby right now.
What's that Wednesday wisdom quote, Pete? Every journey starts with your first step or something like that. So yesterday, Mayor Q released some new measures. Some new measures going to be taken with KCPD.
In the midst of protests and calls for change, Mayor Quint Lucas announced new oversight measures for police.
It's all recognizing that accountability is important for 21st century policing, and it will be important in Kansas City.
Here's what's changing. Use of force complaints will be examined through third-party agencies like the FBI or local U.S. Attorney's Office. Probable cause statements will be required for every officer-involved shooting, as well as this change.
That all officer-involved shootings will be reviewed by an outside agency.
The department also said it's going to review policies regarding tear gas. The mayor added that he thinks it should only be deployed when there is imminent threat to the officers. Now, of course, what's that mean? What does imminent threat mean? What does threat mean? He also announced that there'll be some whistleblower protections for those officers who witness misconduct. Because the other thing, Pete, you said this, I think, what, last show, that we got to incentivize way for good cops to report the bad cops, so right, that those bad cops just don't end up staying there forever. It's all recognizing the accountability is important for 21st century policing. That is according to Mayor Quentin Lucas. Haven't had him on the show. We should probably try to do that, especially since it's been a rather busy couple of weeks, huh?
This time I would like to talk to Mayor Q. It's we've had him on the show a couple of times. I've never had a chance to talk with him. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been pretty chummy. We had a couple conversations.
So busy, you're always such a working man.
We had a couple changes or exchanges, I should say, about you, but we'll keep those to each other. It's a PQ thing. Hartzell, your way out. So
there are still groups here who are not finished whatsoever, and some of them, they want some heads to roll, and they're talking like resignations, and they want Chief Rick Smith, the chief of Kansas City Police Department, they want him gone.
They accused the chief of spending more time protecting the department than the public.
We would like to see him resign and change in leadership, but the reality is the end result we want is Chief Smith gone.
It would be up to the Board of Police Commissioners to fire the chief, not the mayor, and that's another issue. A demand for local control, not state control of the department.
I have a few things on this. Okay, so I understand the frustration with Chief Smith. Mm-hmm. I had this thought as I was driving around, because I live around here anyway, so I was driving around, and really the whole plaza has been shut down with police, where you're kind of seeing them at the edge of the plaza. And I it is getting lost in this, and I've seen some of the videos. I am not saying the Kansas City police has been perfect, but I think part of the reason, and people forget why they're down there, is I see the hate online of this protest and what it means and everything like that. They are down there also to protect the protesters. For example, there could be a group of white supremacists, people with guns, who could come down there, and we've seen worst items. Mm-hmm. So yes, no doubt about it. They've been wrong to throw tear gas where nothing was really happening. I don't doubt that, but I think we should also keep that in mind. Now, at the same time, when it comes to new blood and where you've had these problems maybe in Kansas City before with Chief Smith, I'm going to compare it to the NFL because it's the only thing I know. It's my job. There are times when people can be qualified and have done a good job, but there is a reason to get a fresh start. It happened to Andy Reid, mm-hmm. where he won a lot of games in Philadelphia. By the end, it was stale. There was a certain shelf life where you could do a good job, but you just need a new fresh start to sort of, I think, commemorate the change that's going to happen. And this could be one of those cases where they just want to see a new face, and that way you can take some of these things, and there are no emotional ties to certain cops.
I mean, Don Lemon told us, and by us, I mean Kansas City. Lemon told Kansas City to do better on national television. So I'm curious if, like you're saying, maybe just for the optic standpoint. I mean, that video went. I mean, millions and millions and millions of people saw that video of the plaza.
I want to reiterate this too about this whole situation. This is the problem right now with 2020 media and moments and news stories like this, mm-hmm. is we're talking now, we probably have had a 4 to 5 minute discussion on this, and you've sort of needed to hear every part of it, but you could take 1 minute or see that video, which is only part of this story, and say, oh, we need change right now, but you don't know exactly what happened. It's you're needing layered conversations and only getting less than a minute because that's Twitter world, that's news story world. I don't know what the answer is there. It's just getting people to commit to more, I think, time to understand all parts of certain stories.
I just think you can't get lost in the next hashtag. You can't get lost in the next news cycle. If we've decided, and I think a lot of us have, I think we decided that this is something different. At least we want to believe that this is a different kind of moment, that we can actually grow from this. I think we have an opportunity to do it.
We just need to get away from hashtags like Let's Hartzell Run. I mean, that is a hashtag that is overplayed. I think it's worn out. We got to focus on some more important things.
I had one of the most iconic moments in Royals history.
I think you let it stand.
The redemption angle. I was the relish hot dog, man. I was feet away from immortality.
Pounds down. Baseball isn't anywhere in sight. Just don't let me get in that ketchup costume. That's all I'm saying. That is all I am saying.
Let's take a second and let's remember the guy at the center of this. Let's not forget who he is. Let's say his name, George Floyd. And the first of a few different memorials happened yesterday as he hopefully is resting in peace.
While thousands have taken a knee in recent days, this time felt different. A powerful moment as the Minneapolis police chief kneeled as George Floyd's casket passed him by. At today's memorial service in Minneapolis, we learned about the father and brother from humble beginnings, the high school athlete who loved LeBron James and grew up eating banana and mayonnaise sandwiches.
He was powerful, man. He had a way with words. He could always make you ready to jump and go all the time. Everybody loved George. I'm just, man, it's crazy, man. All these people came to see my brother, and that's amazing to me that he touched so many people's hearts, you know, because he's been touching our hearts.
The gathering, the first of several memorials for George Floyd in different cities in the coming days. His family said that George Floyd's story has been the story of black folks. So I got a banana and mayonnaise on a sandwich. I got to try that one. I got to try that one for George. I've never done that one before.
Not part of my diet right now, but I will. I'll do the bananas.
Keep it national, huh? Let's go to Mad Dog. Oh, Mad Dog Mattis. Remember this guy? This guy used to work for the Trump administration, and now he's bashing the man. You may have noticed a theme here in the last 3.5 years.
We turn now to former Defense Secretary James Mattis, accusing President Trump of being a threat to the Constitution. In a remarkable and rare statement, Mattis accuses Trump of actively dividing the nation.
Writing, "We are witnessing the consequences of 3 years without mature leadership." General Mattis writing, "Donald Trump is the first president in my lifetime who does not try to unite the American people, does not even pretend to try."
There you go. Damn. There you go. The esteemed Marine general, he resigned as the Secretary of Defense back in December of 2018. And his big thing was he's not going to talk ill of the president like that. He was one of the few of the old guard of the first kind of regime of Trump's cabinet. And he said he wasn't going to do it until he did it.
If you just look at the Trump presidency, the amount of firings and then statements by people that worked with him and then speak negatively about him is just insane compared to the rest of the presidents. I don't have the numbers in front of me. This is just me. It's a Sween estimate here.
I love it. I love when you do that.
I'd imagine that he's had more public complaints and things written about him than maybe all the first 44 presidents combined. I don't know if that is even true, but I would think it is. The statements he makes are so divisive every time, and I hate that.
Memorial Day seems like that was a year ago. We all saw the videos of everybody headed to the Lake of the Ozark, Memorial Day weekend. It was lawlessness. Wasn't the best of looks. Well, they're trying to say now, they're claiming that the results are in, and there have been no new increases of the coronavirus in the Lake of the Ozarks. I find that absolutely, in fact, I find that just not, I can't believe it.
Missouri Governor Mike Parson started his daily news conference talking about that incident, calling it dangerous.
A lot of those people were down at the lake. They're going to go down there. People have been shut up for a long time and wanted to get out and be down at the lake. But the problem is everybody's going back home. Everybody's going back to different districts, different towns and everything, which kind of complicated the issue to say the least.
Says here the number one disease actually to come from it was, syphilis, it says.
Let's us wrap it up with this. Pete, this has been a week for you, I think, a 2020 for you of self-improvement. We've already heard you've got your new diet number 5. Well, why don't you just go big or go home?
God, man.
Well, hold on. I'm just, you know what? I say diet that because
5. Wow.
That's not any shade. It's just you are always in a constant race.
Fall 4 times, stand up 5 is what
exactly.
I say.
A race to a race to self-fulfillment. That's and right. I say you keep that going because a plastic surgeon in Miami, he's got a great deal for you. You can now come on by your own drive-through Botox, Pete.
Oh, quick, it's real convenient. It's like, you know, boom, boom, Botox. The areas that we inject Botox are the upper face, exactly the parts of the face that aren't covered by the mask.
You got that? Nothing to worry about. Boom, boom, Botox.
I'm good in the areas of my lips and my hiney, but I could definitely use some of the midriff taken off. There's no doubt about that. So if they can suck that out. And also, too, my car is filthy. So while I'm getting this, if they could just wash the car if we're going to drive through anyway.
Peter, stacked little show today. I am very excited to hang out with some friends. We got some new friends, got some old friends. Sean Edwards, our Flicks on Friday guy.
Shed Edwards, yeah.
That's you. I think that's sticking. I think Shedwards. He doesn't know it, but I think he loves it.
I don't even know if he likes it. That's okay. You can't like your own nickname.
It's true. So we're going to be talking some black cinema with Sean Edwards. I'm super excited about that. And we have some new friends from Boulevard Brewing Company. They have been working. They're getting into the seltzer game, like that hard seltzer. And your boy likes. I'm a fan of the seltzies.
Yeah, I'm truly thinking that might be the right way to go.
Don't do it. What? Don't do that.
What's wrong with that?
Oh, Pete, we get each other sometimes. I mean, I'm looking across. I'm looking at you on this Zoom call, my little viewfinder here where I hit on my buttons for the show, and it's covering up your face. But the way it's positioned on my screen, all I see is a big KC heart.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think I'm okay. Like, I love you, but I'm okay. I mean, this actually works for me.
Yeah, as you know, Hartzell, it is Friday on the KC Morning Show. That's presented by Charlie Hustle. Mm-hmm. I have my classic red and gold KC Hart, Charlie Hustle tee on. used KCMS20, 20% off to get it. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that that's the only part of your viewfinder, because in a few moments I'm going to take my shirt off and it's going to be just a nice look at my nips. Yeah. So
give me a slip, baby.
But again, you could go on to charliehustle.com. They got their new selection. If you like the heart design, they have a new blue and red design with some shuttlecocks is what they mm-hmm. call them. Mm-hmm. Intermixed in the heart.
I like the way you say shuttlecocks. I really do.
They got a new Casey Hart flag. They got some new tanks in all different kinds of colors. Mm-hmm. Does look like something that you would wear on stage, yes. Maybe with one of your hats and sunglasses, hearts, or one of these tank tops.
Yeah, one of my Pharrell hats. Yeah, in fact, I got two of those tank tops in my cart right now. Not even kidding.
Yeah. It's.
I like the USA one. I'm a big fan of that one.
When
I'm a patriot.
When you wear these shirts, there are some blurred lines as to whether or not you actually purchase these.
You are on one today. You are
KCMS20 will get you 20% off. Again, that is online and in store. KC Morning Show on Fridays, presented by Charlie Hills.
KCMS20, Radio Henry, one more time.
Well, if you like t-shirts and you like Kansas City and you like Charlie Hustle, KCMS20 gets you 20% off. Listen to Radio Henry each and every weekend as we bring you your top 40 songs.
Henry, how many times do I have to tell you? No one cares about your damn radio segment. This is a podcast.
That's right. I forgot. I always forget that you guys are on a podcast and you do this thing live. We are only a live radio show when I do my Radio Henry top.
All right. That's enough. I had to take the mic back from it. But anyway, again, Fridays presented by Charlie Hustle.
Going straight to one place, right to Kansas City.
The KC Morning Show.
Boulevard's a Midwestern mecca for the craft beer lover. Churning out product at a blistering pace, but it took a lot to get here. Founder John McDonald lived in a small apartment above the brew house he built from the ground up.
We had our kegging operation over there. Everything in the brewery was in this room.
In the 80s, his idea of launching an independent brewery almost didn't fly.
I couldn't get a bank loan. It took me 3 or 4 years to, you know, raise the money and research it and buy the equipment.
John delivered his first keg on November 17th, 1989. The rest is history.
And I think we've been really a part of the new fabric of Kansas City. I'm so excited about what's going on in Kansas City today. And today it's a thriving metropolitan area that's got a lot of opportunity.
Between the pandemic and everything, I've seen 2 or 3 people this entire 2 month, one of which was Casey Pills, and the second I think was Tank 7. And now I can say I met Natalie and Allie, because they are also with Boulevard Brewing Company, and they're now joining us on the KC Morning Show. Hello, friends.
Hello. Hi.
Well, Natalie, you are VP of Marketing, and Allie, you are the brand manager. And I feel we got some great people on the show, because I have become a bit of a seltzer guy. And I just saw some tweets about a month or so ago. I didn't know that Boulevard was working on this. It's Quirk. Tell me about Quirk, and tell me about Boulevard's venture into the seltzer game, because it's real good. Spoiler alert, it's real good.
Yeah, we have been so excited to be working on Quirk Spice and Sparkling. It's something that we have certainly tried to take the time to get right, and we are thrilled that it's finally time to share with you and the world and ourselves. So, you know, seltzers, like I said, definitely become so popular. It's great to have options that are super refreshing and crisp. And for us, that really meant taking the time to get it right and making it feel different and feel Boulevard. So that is what Quirk Spice and Sparkling is. It's a hard seltzer with a little bit extra personality. It's a little quirky, if you will.
Bazingas everywhere.
I know. I tried to hold that one in. I just couldn't help it. Really, what kind of makes it special to us is this addition of real fruit juice. So we were really excited about what that little tiny but mighty addition could add to flavor and to mouthfeel. And then really exciting flavor combinations. So we have strawberry, lemon, and basil, blackberry, sage, pear, yuzu. These are all kind of bold, exciting flavors you might not see already in the seltzer category. And to us, that felt really special and really Boulevard while still maintaining those low calories, low sugar, low carbs of other seltzers out there. So we're excited to share them.
Who had to be the unfortunate soul, the unlucky soul, that a taste test all of the possible Quirk ideas? And how can I get that job next time?
Oh, you're always welcome. We have a really, really good time at work. And I have to say, one of the most fun parts of our job is really tasting and coming, you know, to the table with our amazing team in brewing and production and sensory. And, you know, the way that the team comes up with these awesome flavor combinations, the feedback we're all able to give on them, it is just so creative and so collaborative. So, yes, Allie and I have tasted every version of these and many, many, many more.
Our job, we were up for the challenge.
I, for example, just checked out the Casey Pills. You worked with the Nelson Atkins, with the museum. It's gorgeous. It is amazing. When you're putting those collaborations together, what comes first as far as the thought process, chain of command?
Great question. You know, in this case, Casey Pills has been a beer that's been in Boulevard's portfolio for a long time and has been a beer that we've used to create a platform around to give back to the community. So we kind of looked inside and said, how do we want to revamp and revise that for 2020 and beyond? And this is that. This is the Nelson was our first take of a new Casey Pills partner program, in which we'll get 50 cents from every case back to the organization. This summer, it's the Nelson Atkins. We love the idea of raising awareness of the arts in Kansas City and all the good they do in creating this experience for our community. And I think we'd all agree, it's just one of the most beautiful parts of our city in the whole Midwest.
Oh,
we're so damn proud of it. And there are great people that work at the Nelson. So we draw a lot of inspiration from it. And I think in this case, you know, the beer was something we already had. We just said, if this beer is our love letter to the city, how can we make it even more impactful?
Oh, I love that. That's beautiful. We're talking to our friends from Boulevard Brewing Company, Natalie Gershon, Allie Bush. We've got a lot of stuff y'all been working on. I was going to say we had this, but you had this, you had that, you had Cork, you have partnerships, and now I believe we've got everything kind of sort of up and running again. What's the details? Like, what's open? What can we check out? Where can we go? Fill us back in on the whole, I guess, reboot of this thing, the new normal.
Totally, yeah. We have definitely, you know, our Tourism Rec Center that's been open here next to the brewery in the West Side since 2016. We have been missing all of our fans and visitors during this time, and so we were able to reopen our beer hall and our gift shop on June 1st, so just this past week. We are definitely taking all safety precautions we can. We are doing full table service. We've spaced out our tables. They've spaced out our fixtures in our gift shop. So we are excited to be open again and welcoming fans and visitors in the safest way possible. Again, looking forward to a little bit down the road and being able to bring tours back as well. But for now, definitely limited hours and safety precautions, but excited to welcome back visitors again to our beer hall.
You've been so good to Kansas City, and I guess I want to wrap it up with this. Just as we have all kind of rediscovered those happy places for us, how much more now is beer important, if that makes any sense at all?
Sure. You know, I'd say there's two great ways that we can use beer to kind of, you know, lift everything up. First, support your local restaurants. We want, you know, please go share a beer with your family, with your friends, or just grab a lunch and raise a glass to the amazing teams that have weathered the storm at bars and restaurants all over our city. They are finding their new normal, and the patience we can give them and the support we can give them is so important. And I think that's where, you know, it's always been kind of at the center of community. And if we can bring people together and work together on creating great solutions and good conversation, you know, that's what we want to be here for. We want to be part of those conversations, and we certainly want to be part of that community building and the return to whatever the new and brighter future looks like.
And, you know, no matter what we're doing and no matter how we're doing it, I can tell you right now that it will likely involve a Tank 7 in my hand for sure. That we know for a fact.
We'll be raising one with you
in here.
I do have a bit of a favor to ask because I am that guy. You all were very generous and sent me some things to try. Is there any way that maybe can I, with your blessing, maybe like do a giveaway or something?
Okay. Maybe we could give away an experience here at Boulevard. As people are kind of starting to get comfortable to rejoin each other, we could also give away a beer and home certificate so people could have a little backyard gathering in their own house.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Boulevard size party pack at home. So we're down.
Love it. See, we just did a thing. That's what we do. We do cool things. That's what we're used to at Boulevard. We do cool things until the next cool thing, which I'm sure will be super cool.
You know it.
Natalie Gershon, Allie Bush, our friends from Boulevard Brewing Company, VP of Marketing and Brand Manager, respectively. Too good to us, y'all. Thank you all so much. And let's cheers and do all the drinking and toasting soon.
Thank you so much.
Greetings, Hartzell. Search the Force, and a tremor I have felt. It was you. Your ego just busted a planet.
The KC Morning Show.
All right, y'all, it's Friday. It is Flicks on Friday. Sean Edwards, Fox 4 film critic. Now, usually I give you the whole WrestleMania intro, Sean. But honestly, today, I want to chat with my brother, man. Like, I have been looking forward to having a conversation with you all week long. So, Sean, how you doing, brother?
You know what? Considering the circumstances, man, I'm doing just okay. Sometimes it's all about being honest. Sometimes it's about the realism of the situation. And, you know, right now, you know, black man to black man, this is a tough time right now in America. You know, it's you know, I'm not trying to get political. I'm just talking real life, real perspective. You know, I've seen a lot of stuff on social media. I've watched a lot of stuff on traditional news. And, none of it looks good, and, you know, hopefully there's some insight that takes place. Hopefully there's some empathy that takes place. Hopefully there's some understanding that takes place, and that's why, you know, I really wanted to have this conversation with you because, you know, I'm not the type of person who's going to post a bunch of statements on my social media platforms. You know, I work for a legitimate news outlet, so I'm in the business of staying, you know, pretty neutral on the situation, but I do want to use my platform to educate, and that's what I want to do today. I want to educate the way I know how to educate best, and that's through the art of cinema, because there's nothing more powerful than movies, and I want to do nothing more than suggest some movie titles about racial injustice, about police brutality that people can watch to the point to where they can learn more about the situation, learn about the situation, period, understand the situation, and sort of put the events that have been happening the past few days in context.
Right.
And that's
right.
What these films will do. These titles are very important. These titles are very powerful. But these titles should be watched. These titles should be discussed. These titles should be rewatched. I want to start first with probably one of the best movies ever made. Spike Lee's 1989 classic, Do the Right Thing.
Universal Pictures presents a new film from Spike Lee.
Good morning, Miss Mother Sister.
Now, Mookie, don't work too hard today. The man says it's going to be hot as the devil.
I've been here 25 years. LaSalle's famous pizzeria is here to stay. Trust me.
Mookie, the last time I trusted you, we ended up with a son.
It's so eerie that, you know, there are several scenes from this movie that match exactly what happened to George Floyd in Minneapolis, so much so that Spike Lee just produced a short film about the incident and actually used clips from his own movie. You gotta remember, this movie's 31 years old. That's how long this sort of thing has been going on with blacks and police brutality in their own community, and that's what this film deals with. You know, it's the hottest day of the year in a Brooklyn neighborhood, and, you know, you have a group of residents that are just going about their daily lives, and one thing leads to another. There's an encounter with the police after some things go down at the neighborhood hangout spot, which is a pizzeria, and there's some cultural issues that are going on inside the pizzeria that, you know, ultimately leads to a riot, that ultimately leads to the police officers, like, taking the life of a young black man. The real ironic thing about this right thing is that the film was actually dedicated to six victims of police brutality and racial violence that happened way before 1989. How long this has been going on. But the movie in itself is just it's a terrific movie. I mean, the writing.
You talked to Spike, right? Have you like had a chance to talk to him?
I talked to Spike Lee today.
What?
Yeah, I talked to him. He's got a new movie called The Five Bloods on Netflix on June 12th.
I don't want to step on your exclusive, but, like, what's he saying?
He's you know, as a filmmaker, he's hurt. He's sad because he put this out there back in 1989, and he sees the same thing happen over and over and over again. And these are all issues that he has addressed in several of his movies, and it just it pains him to see that a movie that he made 3 decades ago be so relevant right now in 2020. It doesn't make any sense at all. We haven't evolved. Everyone should watch Do the Right Thing.
Yep.
I mean, if you don't watch any other film, you should watch Do the Right Thing. I mean, the second movie I want to talk about puts a lot of what's going on and puts, like, you know, there's been a lot of things said about, you know, the protest, mm-hmm. the protesters. Well, if you really want to have an understanding of the power of protest and how things can go extremely well when it's done right and extremely bad when it goes wrong, you have to watch Selma.
He's got supporters. Detroit, New York, Los Angeles, inciting large-scale arrests and sympathy marches.
I'm very aware of that, Mr. Hoover. What I do know is he's nonviolent. What I need to know right now, what's Martin Luther King about to do next?
Mr. President, Dr. King is here.
Directed by Ava DuVernay, it chronicles the civil rights movement, primarily the march from Selma, Alabama to Montgomery, Alabama, and they attempted 3 times to pull off the march and cross the bridge. And the thing that makes this movie so powerful is when you see the scenes of the police and the troopers attack the marchers, it puts it all in perspective.
Yeah.
I mean, it's some of the most brutal filmmaking you could ever see. You know, the movie actually starts off with the bombing of the church that killed the 4 little girls.
Mm-hmm.
It's in your face filmmaking. You know, it revolves around Dr. Martin Luther King and how he negotiated with then President Lyndon B. Johnson. It, you know, it singles out several of the civil rights movement leaders and just the power of hearing Dr. King's speeches in the movie. It doesn't get much better. Another movie on the list is The Hate U Give.
Out of the car.
Yo, Star, you okay?
Go back where he told you. Khalil, I'm not playing. Go back where... What did you do?
Can I be honest with you on this one, Sean? Of all the movies we're talking about, this one I haven't been able to do this one yet. My dad, we have these conversations all the time. My dad still can't watch Roots. You know, this is one of those for me where I don't... This one's tough for me.
The Hate U Give, I mean, look, you have a young teenager who witnesses the police kill her friend right in front of her eyes. Like, she's dealing with that. Like, that's the jump-off point of this film. Amazingly, it's based on a YA novel, a young adult novel,
mm-hmm.
and it just deals with this young teen watching her friend get murdered by the police. She's moved to lead some protests and some demonstrations. I mean, it's what's happening right now. Powerful. It starts off with this really, really emotional monologue where you have this African-American father teaching his young children how to respond when the police pull you over.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so achingly heartbreaking because I think there are a lot of people out here who don't understand that part of our daily education as African-Americans when we're young is being taught on how to encounter the police. You will be heartbroken. You will be torn apart, but it's necessary viewing. And then the last film on my list is actually a documentary, because sometimes, you know, people don't always take feature films for truth. Well, documentaries are nothing but the real deal. And the documentary that I recommend everyone to watch is I Am Not Your Negro, which focuses on James Baldwin, who was one of the most prolific writers and civil rights activists that ever lived.
One of the best minds, period.
The story of the Negro in America is the story of America. It is not a pretty story.
I'm a black man in a white world.
Most of the white Americans I've ever encountered, sure, they have nothing whatever against Negroes. That's really not the question. Really a kind of apathy and ignorance. You don't know what's happening on the other side of the world because you don't want to know.
When you listen to the power and the intellect of what he is saying,
mm-hmm.
about the problems this country has been going through since 1619, you will have a full understanding of the pain and the anger and the suffering that a lot of people are going through. You know, this just says it all. It's a fantastic documentary, and it presents everything front and center. It's unflinching. Yes, you will get punched in the gut, but sometimes you need that, man. Yeah. All medicine does not taste good, but people need this. People need to understand, and no one does it better than James Baldwin. I Am Not Your Negro, one of the best documentaries ever made, sums up everything that's going on right now. And I'm not trying to be political, but it addresses the issues of you gotta have quality leadership. You have to have leadership that can unite. You have to have focus, strategy, mobilization. It deals with all these issues that can help make this country and this world a better place.
I don't want to put you on the spot, Sean, but do you have like a favorite a quote or a scene or something from, you know, any of the movies we talked about? It could be from Spike to James Baldwin. Anything that just stands out that, you know, you just can't
get over?
No, I do.
No, I have a favorite. No, I do. No, that's a great question, man. That is a 100% excellent question. No, I have a favorite scene. It's from Do the Right Thing, and I think it's a scene that all of your listeners will appreciate because it's really coming into play right now as we go through everything that we're seeing in terms of the protests and police brutality and this so-called culture war. There's a scene in Do the Right Thing between Mookie, who's the lead character, who's actually played by Spike Lee, and John Turturro, who works in the pizzeria. He's the owner's son. And Spike Lee confronts him.
Pina, who's your favorite basketball player?
Magic Johnson.
Who's your favorite movie star?
Eddie Murphy.
Who's your favorite rock star? Prince. You're a Prince
fan. Boss, Bruce.
Prince.
Bruce.
Pina, all you ever talk about is this and that. And all your favorite people are so-called
It's different.
But through all these pop cultural things, and a lot of his favorites are all black. And so then he's like, you love this culture so much. How can you be like, N-word this, N-word that, and have such a hatred for black people and not understand their cause when it doesn't benefit your entertainment value? And I think that's a lot of what we're dealing with right now.
I love having you on the show, man. I wouldn't want to talk flicks on a Friday with anybody else. But Sean Edwards.
Got you. I appreciate that, man. I know. I appreciate that, man. Everybody, man, peace and love. Let's work together.
Go check out this book. The book, this is the time. I can't think of a better time to check out Sean's book.
100 Years of Black Filmmaking. It's on my Facebook page.
Absolutely.
It's a digital book. It's easy. It's free. We just want people to have the information. Watch the movies. I got something in the works with Fandango.
Okay.
They're committed to the cause. We just want to educate.
Yeah, man. The work.
That's all I want to do. I just want to educate.
The work continues, man. The work continues.
Yeah, man.
We're going to be all right.
It's going to be good. You know, it's just a little, you know, let's hopefully this is just a speed bump, man. We're going to get back at it.
You know it. You know
hey,
it.
Hey, also, hey, y'all, we still are in the middle of a pandemic, though. Please be safe out there.
We can change the world, man. But you got to wear a mask when you do it.
Man, I appreciate the time, man.
Your style is unorthodox, but effective.
The KC Morning Show.
Peter, take me to sports.
Now, you Hartzell, you're the type of guy that doesn't realize that I come full of surprises.
Uh-huh.
And that means today, on this Friday edition of the KC Morning Show,
I got a list!
Yeah.
What is happening right now?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Oh my God.
It is. It's been a week in Kansas City. And if you're about to bring in the weekend, you ought to order from some black restaurants in Kansas City. The Pitch, KC.com, put together a nice list of black restaurants to order from, black owned.
Yeah.
And man, they have some photos, and this food looks excellent. And so the list of Pete, bringing you some black restaurants to order from.
Okay, the list of Pete. I am down for the cause. Let's go.
You're not supposed to like my list. I obviously don't get it, how this works.
Well, okay, it's mostly because I like you got Mark Morrison right now, man. What a return to the Mac. I'm good.
Yeah, thank you. You're welcome. The Saab in Midtown. Looks like they have Duro tip with collards and yellow lentils.
Ooh.
You're going to want to soak up the rich, spicy drippings. They got Reggae Kitchen on 55th and Truth. Oxtail with the side of rice and peas. The pitch writes, Edwards Oxtail is absurd, luxuriously silky and rich. Fanny's African and Tropical Cuisine on 41st and Truth. Goat meat soup with fufu. It is a past experience with a tough or stringy goat. Turned you off, Fanny will set you straight. Fried tilapia with extra Cheeto sauce is another great option. Saray Steak and Oysters on 18th and Vine. Shrimp po' boys only available at lunch. Best eaten alone, so you could lap remoulade from your wrist. It's messy in the best way. And if you're a mac and cheese person, the seafood mac is briny and creamy and the star of the genre. So there you go. My Village Grill in Independence. A smoky, spicy Nigerian soup packed with bitter greens. So that's another one.
Ooh, that sounds real good.
I'm going to name a few more here. The District Biscuit House near Arrowhead Stadium. Big T's Barbecue on Blue Parkway. They have a smoked turkey leg. I love smoked turkey legs, and so does my mother, almost to a fault. You know, you bring her out, she loves to just get that meat off the bone. M&M Bakery and Deli cassette, Della and M&M Bakery and Deli on 31st.
And you cannot mention your mom to me in a casual conversation as Return of the Mac plays in the background, okay. Man. Like, it's just not
there. Giant Apple Fritter. Oh, my God. I love apple fritters, too. Niecy's Restaurant on 64th and Truce. They got chicken and waffles.
Yep.
Top-notch vegan vittles in Independence. Call ahead and carry out only. And then Fat Jack's Chicken and Fish on Blue Parkway. So if there was ever a time, I think, to order from a black restaurant, it's this week. Let's try to support our local black, I think, food dispensaries here. Order the jumbo fried shrimp at Fat Jack's. So there you go. That's a list of peeps. Some new items to try. I've never been to any of these restaurants, I'll be the first to admit. So I'm going to try to get to one of these at least, maybe one or two before the weekend's out.
Yeah, man.
Let you know
how. Look at you. Thoroughly enjoyed your list of Pete. Look at that. Yeah. See, it's okay to enjoy a good list. All right. You don't have to be that guy. And if you play more Mark Morrison, if for any segment you want to bring to this table, that's always going to be a yes. Just hit play.
Well, we've had a number of lists on the show. So when you're going to do a list segment, you just want to upgrade. And that was what I was looking to do. I was trying to upgrade the usual list that we had.
Okay. See, I give him a compliment. You give him an inch, he takes a GD foot. Take me to sports. Right. How about that? How about that, sports guy? How about that?
Now, actually, welcome in to sports. Can't believe it. You just called me sports guy. I appreciate the compliment from the music guy. All right, so the NFL dropped.
We're going to fight later.
The NFL dropped a momentous video last night, and Patrick Mahomes, Tyrann Mathieu was included. I would suggest you get online to watch it, but we have the audio, so.
It's been 10 days since George Floyd was brutally murdered.
How many times do we need to ask you to listen to your players?
What will it take
for one of us to be murdered by police brutality?
What if I was George Floyd?
If I was George Floyd?
What if I was George Floyd?
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 I am George Floyd.
I am Breonna Taylor.
I am Ahmaud Arbery.
I am Eric Garner.
I am McCormick Dunn.
I am Tamir Rice.
I am Trayvon Martin.
I am Walter Scott.
I am Michael Brown Jr.
I am Samuel Du Bois.
I am Frank Smart.
I'm Philip White.
I'm Jordan Baker.
We will not be silenced.
We assert our rights
to peacefully protest.
It shouldn't take this long to admit.
So, on behalf of the National Football League,
this is what we, the players,
would like to hear you state.
We, the National Football League,
condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people.
We, the National Football League,
admit wrong in silencing our players from peacefully protesting.
We, the National Football League,
believe Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter.
What? There you go. The NFL put that out.
Not the NFL. So the NFL players were essentially...
Okay, imagine if that would have been the NFL, right? If that was a sanctioned video from the NFL. I just got actual goosebumps, man. That was amazing.
You can't obviously see it. It included stars such as Saquon Barkley, DeAndre Hopkins, Deshaun Watson. And this is big for Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes and Tyrann Mathieu. And they're calling on the NFL to allow the players to protest however they may want. And at the end, in big black letters and big white letters, it says Black Lives Matter. Big for Kansas City because you're creating a situation, as you heard, from that lusty Kermit voice. Patrick Mahomes was a part of it. And you're putting the most beloved sports figure maybe in Kansas City's history already, and he's behind a cause that's highly controversial, and it's going to be interesting to see how some Kansas Cityans with some really interesting views essentially have to choose between now.
I can't believe he did it.
Mahomes, I didn't think he'd do it. And Matthew. Matthew was a part of it too, Tyrann Matthew. Interesting to me shortly after, and I'll be honest, I've covered the Chiefs for 6 years. I didn't see it coming. Kansas City Chiefs quote tweeted Patrick Mahomes' tweet, "We love and support our players. We're proud of you, Patrick and Tyrann." And so this is a week after Drew Brees, who's one of the other leaders of the NFL, he made some interesting comments.
Everyone is looking back now at Kaepernick's protests from a few years ago, and obviously they were always about police brutality, and now it's coming back to the fore, and a lot of people expect that we will see players kneeling again even when the NFL season starts. I'm curious how you think the NFL will and should respond to that. And of course, you're such a leader in the league. What is your responsibility as a leader in times like this for the rest of your teammates and players in the league?
Well, I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II, one in the Army and one in the Marine Corps, both risking their lives to protect our country and to try to make our country
there? Can we cut it there? It's just, I mean, I get it. It's just a false equivalency.
Well, yeah, exactly. So
anyway, I'm sorry.
The timeline of this, how it went, Hartzell, is he further clarified his comments later in the day, then more backlash. Mm-hmm. The New Orleans Saints said that they were going to talk about it in-house, and then the apology came the next day, relevant in Kansas City because Tyrann Mathieu, Darwin Thompson, Travarius Ward, Antonio Hamilton were among the Chiefs to immediately respond on Twitter and call him out. Again, he sent an apology. A lot of people feel that the damage is done. Two of his star wide receivers and Michael Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, unfollowed him on Twitter. And Michael Thomas is the best wide receiver in the NFL, a lot of people will say. And so that was big. Bottom line here is both of these things are a sign of things to come. Patrick Mahomes and Tyrann Mathieu presumably will be kneeling. Seems like kneeling could be making a return to the NFL. The NFL pushed Colin Kaepernick out. They were able to eradicate kneeling. You wonder if they take the measure of not having a national anthem, which I could maybe see.
Oh, yeah.
But it looks like if they do the national anthem, fans or not, protests will be back this fall. And it's going to create a really interesting dynamic. And this is from Therese Paylor, who pointed this out, former Kansas City Star beat writer and now Yahoo Sports, a big, big name in the industry. This is going to put a lot of locker rooms up against each other a little bit. And we're going to see how it plays out in the NFL. And I know a lot of NFL owners probably thought, okay, we were able to solve this problem. It's done. It felt like it was sort of over the protesting. And now it's going to be back in a big way this fall. And so that's going to be an interesting storyline.
In every sports league, not just right. NFL. It's going to be everywhere.
Agreed. Agreed. On a lighter note, the NBA is back. The NBA took a major step in getting back toward the court on Thursday. The league's board of governors approved a 22-team format for restarting the league next month at the Disney camp in Orlando. It's going to be this NBA bubble. Here are the dates. This is how soon we are. July 9th to 11th is training camp. The 19-20 season will restart on July 31. If you're wondering, the Knicks aren't a part of it because they're a joke of a franchise. The draft lottery is August 25th. The NBA draft is October 15th. Free agency is October 18th. The 20-21 training camp is November 10th. And then 20-21 season starts on December 1st. So in the matter of 5 months, you'll have this major tournament. You'll crown an NBA champion. Month off. Back to the NBA season for next year, because October would usually be the time when you would start the season. So this is really a way to crown a champion for the last season. And that should happen because it was as interesting as it could ever been. Like, it was wide open this year where it wasn't before. So we're going to see who wins out. I know the Milwaukee Bucks are within that. Some people think that they can make a surge here. We'll see. And it should be like March Madness in the fall. And you're entering a fall that's going to have NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, NFL regular season, couple golf tournaments. I know there's one Sunday that the Masters will conclude during an NFL Sunday, which is going to be wild because I know a lot of people like both. Where's the MLB in this? They can't come to an agreement. This is so bad for the MLB.
What are they doing?
No deal. Players reaffirmed their stance. They want full prorated play, leaving a huge gap with teams. There's been rumors that a lot of MLB owners are just willing to say goodbye to this season. It's bad.
Baseball's going to end up being like a regional kind of sport if they keep this up.
MLS is on its way back too. They're working toward a deal. This almost fell through, and they're coming back. I know, Hartzell, you like that. Sporting KC and the MLS are to return to full team training. So that's coming up pretty soon here, according to the Sporting KC website. I don't think there's an exact date on it, but plans are to resume next week for the MLS and Sporting KC, who are on a roll. So, I mean, you talk about Kansas City sports. It looks like right now with baseball not happening, it's going to be Sporting and the Chiefs, and those are your two updates there. So finally, some interesting updates out of sports. I feel like I've been having to force things this entire time, and looks like we'll finally be getting back to some games pretty soon here.
An excellent sports beat, as always. Peter Sweeney, ladies and gentlemen, editor-in-chief for Arrowhead Pride. This guy. We got any events? Got anything you want to talk about for the weekend?
Yeah, I got a couple things.
Got a few. Hold on. Let me find a track for us. I've been doing different versions of Kansas City. So I think we're going to go, let's do a different Kansas City. I'm going to go Kansas City from the Broadway acclaimed musical Oklahoma.
Oh, boy.
I got to Kansas City on a Friday.
Man, this is nuts. This is something. All right. A thing or two.
Hold on. This may not work.
Let me have an idea of what the modern world was coming to.
But Pete's going to tell us what to do. Boom, go.
Do you know we got some events on Friday, Hartzell? What, you guys have really some events? Protest. It's like, this won't work. No, it's Black Lives Matter is doing a city hall protest today at 11 a.m. So, as Hartzell mentioned, it's continuing. White coats stand with Black Lives Matter. That's happening tomorrow at noon at Hospital Hill Park. Join us in forming a human chain of medical professionals to peacefully demonstrate their support. So there you go. Again, tomorrow at noon. Farmers markets are back all across the board. I don't know if they ever really stopped. They've been doing different things to keep them going. So there you go. And there's a drive-in concert at Nebraska Furniture Mart tomorrow at 6 p.m. So Saturday at 6 p.m. Rock out with your, rock out social distancing style.
I was like, what are you about to say right now?
With Nebraska Furniture Mart's drive-in concert series. The NFM, baby, it's cranking it up. So you think the Record Bar is cool. You think some of these venues that the Buzz does it at. No. The only place you can rock out this weekend is the Nebraska Furniture Mart. So put it in park. Enjoy some blind box barbecue and rock out to a live performance from KC's own Wonder Fuzz. Yeah, rock out. And make sure you tell the Church of Laz to promote this concert.
Tell the Church of Laz to bring back their producer. I mean, who said that? I'm sorry, keep going, Pete. Who said that? What?
I just think I think it's all about two UZZs, right? The Buzz should be supporting the Wonder Fuzz. I feel like that's the same.
Oh, man. Oh,
it's like kissing cousins a little bit.
Oh, boy.
Well, that's it, man. That's all I got for you today.
You want some drive-in? Because I've been doing a lot of drive-in. I've been the last 3 weeks. If anyone's curious, I go to the B&B, the one in Independence, the Twins. You got the Goonies today and Aquaman tonight. Tomorrow, you've got Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone and Onward.
So yo, Wizard Harry. We've said this before, too. Harry Potter is the best episodic movie series of all time. So
okay, and on that note, why don't you give me a letter, Pete? Because you're talking craziness. You're talking a bunch of hot nonsense. Got to get you out of here.
H.
Okay, Peter H. Sween. The H stands for Happy Friday, Happy Weekend. We love you.
The KC Morning Show.
See you in the morning. Say goodbye, Pete. Say goodbye.
Wingardium Leviosa.